Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship with you, and the songs and the prayers and being around the Lord's table has been encouraging already this morning, and I'm glad that we can come in out of the elements and do that very thing. You may have in your home a place that is flat, like a counter or a table or a desk, and it seems like no matter what you do to keep that cleared off, it always clutters. So the ladies, they clean off the kitchen counters, and the guys come in and load it back down. You know, the desk in your office, you get it cleaned up, and then somebody loads it back down with junk. I get the workbench cleaned off, and the boys come by and load it down with their junk. And so we have these places in our homes like that. But they're not useful because they're all cluttered up. We can't use our desk when it's all piled up with things. We can't have a flat surface there to write on. We can't use that kitchen countertop, that table, that workbench. You can't have a flat place on your workbench where you can nail something or screw something because it's all filled up with junk as mine currently is. So we have these places, but they're not useful to us. They don't do us any good. Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 19. In just a moment we will read a text of Scripture there. I want us to consider being useful to the Master this morning. Are you useful to Jesus? Are you useful? Can He use you right now? That's what I want us to consider. When you look at Luke chapter 19 and starting in verse 28, you find that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, His last week of ministry there before going to the cross. And we pick up the reading in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. And when He had thus spoken, He went on before, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when He drew nigh unto Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, He sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go your way into the village over against you, and in which you enter in, you shall find a colt tied, whereon no man ever sat. Loose him and bring him. And if anyone asks you, 'Why do you loose him?' thus shall you say, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they went their way and found even as He had said. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, 'Why loose you the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord hath need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their garments upon the colt, and He sat thereon." And we know the rest of the story, how He goes into the city of Jerusalem. A lot of times we talk about what can Jesus do for us. We know, like we just partook of the Lord's Supper, He forgives us of our sins. He died on the cross for us. He intercedes in prayer for us. And we talk about what Jesus does for us. This morning, I want us to talk a little bit about what we need to do for Jesus. Are we doing anything for Jesus? Are we useful to Him? In our present spiritual state, can He use us? In the text of Scripture in Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, "Go and find where this colt is tied up. And if anybody asks you, you say, 'The Lord has need of him.'" Can you imagine that? You own some animals there, and these two guys come up and they're untying your colt, and you're like, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And they say, "The Lord has need of him." The Lord needs us. Jesus needs you. You ever thought about that? Jesus needs you. Turn with me a couple of chapters over in Luke chapter 22. After teaching during that week, and we come down toward the end of the week, and there's the Passover and the meal in the upper room. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. "And on the day of unleavened bread came on which the Passover must be sacrificed, and Jesus, He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make ready for the Passover, that we may eat it." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we make ready?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you are entered into the city, there you shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house whereinto he goeth. And you shall say unto the master of the house, 'The teacher saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When you read Matthew's parallel account, you find that the man carrying the pitcher of water, it was actually his house that he used to let Jesus and the disciples eat there in the upper room. These individuals had something that Jesus needed. Jesus could have miraculously provided all kinds of things, but I believe, brethren and friends, this morning, He lets us do some things that we need to do for Him. Jesus could miraculously do anything that He needed, but He needs you and me to do some things. He could have miraculously provided a colt. There's my colt. I'm going to ride in on my colt that I have miraculously made. But He didn't do that. He went and sent some men to get a colt from somebody else that they could provide. And underscore in your Bible, the Lord has need of Him. Why didn't Jesus just miraculously make a colt? He needs us to do some things. He needed a room to observe the Passover in. And He found that in this man who was carrying a pitcher of water. Would we have opened up our home to Jesus? Would we have let Jesus had our colt? I wasn't around in World War II, but I've seen in the history books. Do you remember the old Uncle Sam picture? "I want you." Remember that? We've seen that. There may be some here this morning that saw that in person. You were young enough to see that in person. Maybe Miss Thelma, somebody like that. "I want you." Remember that? You've seen that poster? That's what Jesus is saying. This morning, I don't want us to consider what Jesus does for us. I want us to consider what we need to be doing for Jesus. Do you know that Jesus needs you? Jesus could do many things by Himself, but He wants you to do some things. So turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want us to consider the statement that Paul makes here about you and I being useful to the Master. Are you useful to the Master in your current spiritual relationship with Him? You know, Jesus could do many things by Himself, but instead He chooses to need you to do some things for Him. That's an honorable thing if you think about it. He could easily do many things miraculously by Himself, but He wants you to go out and do some things for Him. So are you useful and ready to do that? When He calls upon you, are you useful and ready to do that? Do you know He needs you to be an example to others? He said on the Sermon on the Mount that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He needs you to go out today and this week and be a good example. He needs you to do that. Will you be doing that? Will I be doing that? Do you know that He needs you to share His gospel with the lost? Yeah, He needs you to do that. He could miraculously come down and miraculously force Himself into everybody's life and force them to hear and obey the gospel, but that's not how He's chosen to do that. He's chosen to let you take that to others. He needs you to share the gospel with others. He needs you to fill certain roles in life. Parents, He needs you to be a good parent. He needs you to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He needs you to train up that child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He needs you to do that. That's not something that He's going to miraculously do outside of you. He needs you to do that. He needs you to be an elder in the church and a deacon in the church. He needs you to do that. Men. That is the relationship that He has made in the local church. And He's told us how to qualify ourselves for that and work ahead for that and plan ahead for that. But He needs you to do that. He is described, Peter calls Him the chief shepherd. That's right. He watches over His flock, but on a local congregational basis, He needs you, the men, to do that. There are some roles and relationships in life that He needs you to fulfill. Parenting is one. Being an elder or a deacon is another. Or what about a Bible class teacher? He needs you to teach God's Word to those children. And we need teachers here. And He needs you to do that. Daniel was talking about our VBS meeting this afternoon. That would be a great opportunity to get involved. But during each quarter that we have of teachers, we need teachers and we need you. Jesus needs you to teach His Word to others. That's just a relationship that He's given us in the church. When you picture that poster in your mind of Uncle Sam, you know, he's got the red, white, and blue top hat on and that big white, gray beard, and he's pointing, I need you. Just replace that with Jesus. There are roles and relationships like parenting, leadership in the church, and other relationships that we have in life where Jesus needs you, men and women, to do those things. He needs you to come worship Him. He could have made an arrangement where there's no assembly. There's no Lord's Supper. There's no singing. There's no praying. There's no studying of His Word where nobody has to do anything on any particular. There is no first day of the week. All days are the same. It doesn't really matter. But no, He's chosen a situation called worship where He needs you to come and worship. And I'm encouraged by your presence, by those who have come to do that this morning. Jesus needs you. So this morning, I want us to consider how that you and I can be useful to the Master. Paul says that we're to be ready and useful to the Master in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to explore this morning how that we can do that. How that we should do that. Because Jesus is wanting you to do some things in life. And so it's not an option. It's not a suggestion. We have to put ourselves in a place where we can be useful to the Master. And like the cluttered workbench and office desk and kitchen counter and dining room table, whatever it is, if we need to clean off the clutter so that we can actually use the desk and the counter and the table and the workbench, let us do that this morning. So that we can be useful to the Master. Jesus needs you this morning. Let's see how that we can be in that position where when it's over with, He can actually use us. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the scripture reading that we had earlier. If you start in verse 19 and work your way down through verse 21, you'll find some qualities and characteristics here of an individual who can be useful by Jesus. We're going to look at six of them this morning. The first four come from the text itself, and then we will look at two others in addition to that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, if you back up a few verses, Paul has been talking about those individuals who would teach erroneous things and false things and stay away from those things and study God's Word. Give diligence in verse 15 to know the truth of God's Word. Stay away from error, verses 16 and 17. And then in verse 19, Paul has just said, there's some individuals out there who are not living right. This Hymenaeus and Philetus, they're not teaching right. They're not living right. But in contrast to that, look at the word in verse 19, howbeit. It's a contrast now. Howbeit, in other words, not everything is bad in the church. Not everything is a loss. There are those who are out there who are teaching error. Howbeit, there are some other individuals who are living right. Howbeit, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, this guarantee. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. Let's start right there. If you want to be useful to Jesus this morning, the first thing you need to be is a Christian. In verse 19, Paul says, the Lord knows them that are His. We need to be a Christian this morning. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're of that age where there is sin in your life and it needs to be washed away in baptism, you need to become a Christian, because if you're not a Christian, Jesus can't use you. Now, the devil can. If we're out in the world and there's sin in our life that hasn't been forgiven and we're not a child of God, the devil can use us and the world can use us, but Jesus can't use you unless you're a Christian. You might be useful to some others around you in different kinds of ways. You might be a very helpful person. You might be a very nice person. You might be a hard worker in some way. And at work or at school or other relationships, you might do some good things. But Jesus can't use you. Now, mom and dad might be able to use you, and your boss might be able to, and so forth. But Jesus can't use you. The Master cannot use us if we're not following Him, if we're not a faithful Christian. And so I would suggest, first of all, this morning, that if we need to be in a place and ready for the Master's use, and the rest of today and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the rest of this week, if Jesus is to be able to use me, I need to be a faithful Christian. And if I've been baptized in the past and I've fallen away, He can't use me in that state. If I've run back into the world, if I've become unfaithful in some way, Jesus can't use me. So I have to belong to God. The Lord knows those who are His. And so we need to be a Christian. Paul is talking about Christians here. And let's just start with, at the beginning, I need to be a Christian. Turn with me to Philemon. Little book of Philemon, verse 11. Paul is talking about a slave owner named Philemon whose slave had run away and had, by God's providence, had come to Rome and found Paul. And Paul had taught this slave named Onesimus. He was not a Christian. And when Paul got done with him and had taught the gospel to him, he had become a Christian. And notice how Paul describes him in verse 11. Onesimus, this runaway slave, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable, some versions say useful to you and to me, whom I have sent back to you in his own person. A runaway non-Christian is not going to help Philemon in any way, and he's not going to help Jesus in any way, but when he becomes a Christian and he goes back to his owner, then all of a sudden he's useful. What's interesting about that is, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 11, where Paul describes Onesimus there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 11. Together with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother. The faithful and beloved brother. I don't know why he ran off to Rome. I don't know if his job was difficult, and I don't know. But I know that when he obeyed the gospel there in Rome and Paul taught him the gospel, he becomes a faithful and beloved brother. Paul says he is useful now to you, Philemon, and to me. We need to become a Christian. And we need to remain faithful as a child of God. Being a Christian, being a faithful and beloved brother. makes us useful to Jesus Christ. The New Testament talks about that we can fall away from grace, and so Christians can go back into the world. They can be swallowed up by the devil. They can be swallowed up by the world. And they may be having a good time, and their friends can use them for things that worldly friends do, but Jesus can't use you in that state. So even as a child of God, if we've erred in some way, come back. Come back to the Lord so that He can start using you again today. And if you need to name Him for the very first time, as we sing in just a moment this song of invitation, come forward and be baptized into Christ. Otherwise, Jesus can't use you right now. And He wants to. He wants you to be in His service. Turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In order to be useful to the Master, we need to be moral. We need to be a godly Christian. You know, there are people that have been baptized into Christ, but they have immoral practices in their life. They're doing things that are not according to God's Word. And when I mean immoral, I don't mean the way it's being thrown around today by some of the politicians, that if you don't go along with them with some of their plans, they've started over the past 2-3 months calling something immoral. When I say immoral, I mean it doesn't match up with the teaching of God's Word. He has said that it's wrong, and we're doing it, or He has said that it's right and we're not doing it. That's what I mean by immoral this morning. And if we're a Christian, somebody says, well, I was baptized years ago so Jesus can use me. No, not if we're not moral, not if we're not pure. So let's look at the next thing that Peter talks about here. I'm sorry, Paul. He says that we need to be a Christian, but we need to be pure in our lives. Jesus can't use us if we're saying and doing and thinking things that are immoral or impure. Verse 20 or verse 19. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord. We're talking about Christians. That's how Jesus can use us. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. If there's some unrighteousness in our life, Jesus can't use us. Look at verse 20. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels. Think about plates and cups, platters. Think about that. Not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some unto honor, the gold and silver, and some unto dishonor, the wood and earth or clay. Think about that today with regard to what we have in our house. Think about, on the one end, your finest china, that fine china that you have. You might have a china cabinet for it. And then think of the paper plate. You've got this fine china, gold and silver, and then you've got wood and earth. Today would be the paper plate, the plastic plate. When we get done eating off of a paper plate or a plastic plate, where do we throw it? We throw it in the garbage. You don't throw your china in the garbage. You wash it off, you put it nicely back there in that china cabinet. So there are vessels of honor, and there are vessels of dishonor. And then Paul says, if you purge yourself of these things, dishonorable things, get rid of the unrighteousness, get rid of the dishonorable things that are in our life, get rid of the impure things. So look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, meet or useful, ready for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And then look at verse 22. Flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. Before and after verse 21, there's a discussion about get away from unrighteous, ungodly things and have righteousness in your life, honorable things in your life. That's how Jesus can use us. Is there anything of an unrighteous nature that we need to purge or get out of our life? Anything that we're viewing maybe privately? Anything that we say privately or think or view or look at? Is there anything that we need to get out of our lives? If so, do that so that Jesus can use us. He can't use you in your current state if there's unrighteousness in our life. So if we've named the name of the Lord, let us get rid of that unrighteousness that is in our life. The Master cannot use us if we are impure Christians. And so look at verse 21. Purge himself from these things. Just stop it. Get it out and don't let it come back. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the works of the flesh, whatever those things might be, stop those things. Well, others don't really know about it. It doesn't matter. Jesus knows about it. He can't use you. We can't be used by Jesus if those things are in our life. First of all, we're a bad influence on others. Secondly, those things keep us often from going out and doing the good that we need to be doing. Purge ourselves from those things, whatever that is. You know what it is. I know what it is. If it's in our lives, the Lord knows what it is. If it's something of a public nature and we can let others know that they know that we've been doing that, we're going to stop that, we're going to change that, we can let them know, we can pray together. Or of a private nature, either one, purge yourself. We need to be moral. We need to be clean. We need to be upright. Look with me at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself, I'm going to clean myself up spiritually and morally. Paul says that he shall be a vessel unto honor. We're now back in an honorable position with Jesus. And he can use us. And Paul says that we would be set apart, useful to the master, some versions say. Prepared unto every good work. Let's look at the third thing that Paul says. Paul says that if we will be a Christian and name the name of the Lord, if we will set ourselves apart and be pure in our living, then we can be prepared for every good work. In other words, we're capable when it comes time for Jesus to use us in this particular thing that He wants for us. We're capable, ready, and prepared, and ready to go. Have you ever tried to go on a trip and things are not ready to go on the trip? Have you ever tried to start a weekend project and things are not ready to go? You can't accomplish what you need to do. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra 7 and verse 10. The master cannot use us if we're unprepared, unready, and unequipped. Can you imagine and our military brethren, forgive me, I'm not going to use the right terms, probably. But you got a platoon of men and it's a battlefield and they're hunkered down and their leader, their commander says, charge. And the guys are sitting there going, I haven't loaded my gun. I mean, I'm still loading bullets. I mean, give me some. Is the platoon useful to that platoon leader? They're of no use to him. Excuse me, Sarge. I didn't bring my gun. Is that a problem? We have to be ready and prepare. We have to know how to use our equipment. We have to have it loaded. We have to have it ready. We can't charge the enemy and do anything good unless we are ready to go. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, Ezra had made it a point in his life. And when it came time for God to use him and come back and lead the children of Israel to return and be restored and rebuild the city and the walls and rebuild their spiritual lives, he was ready to go. Why? Because the text says that he had spent his time preparing his life for that very moment. For Ezra had set his heart. And it's an attitude of where we are determined and focused to do what? To seek the law of Jehovah and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. When it came time for him, he was ready. In fact, my version says back in verse 6, he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Jesus can't use us unless we're ready. So are we spending our days right now preparing ourselves to be that teacher? preparing ourselves to be that deacon, to be that elder, to be that gospel preacher, to be that husband that I need to be that wife I need to be? Am I spending my youth preparing that? Or even my adulthood, even if I have to play catch up, am I preparing myself to do that personal work? When Roger was teaching his classes back in the fall, it was to prepare us to have something to say when that time comes. But when the time comes and I'm not prepared, that's about all I can get out. You see? So Paul says that we're useful to the master when we are capable and ready for that. Men, are you preparing your lives right now to be deacons and elders? Gospel preachers? Teachers? Ladies, are you working with others, volunteering with others? Go to the elders and ask them, can I work with another lady and prepare myself to be a teacher? I haven't done a whole lot of that. I want to do more of that. So when that day comes, and that day is coming, where the older ones are going to have to step aside, and sometimes it's just passing from this life, who will be the church of tomorrow? Look around the room. We're all getting older. And when we're gone, who will be the church of tomorrow? It'll be the ones who are preparing themselves right now. They'll be able to step up to the plate. Jesus can use me. The Master can use me. Because right now I have been volunteering. Right now I have been doing those things that I need to be doing. Often in the church I've seen this, where we don't prepare ourselves, but on a day when we need such and such, we go ahead and make a person that. They do it. But sometimes they either mess it up, or it causes problems, or they hurt others, or they really don't do it that well. It's just sort of, go ahead and start doing it. But they've never been preparing themselves to do that. You know, we wouldn't do that in any other walk of life, really, but often we'll do it in the church. Who in this auditorium this morning would go under the knife in a surgery of a doctor who's never prepared himself to do that? Who would do that? We appointed him yesterday to be open heart surgeon. He's never been to a day of medical school in his life, but we appointed him yesterday to be an open heart surgeon, and you're his first surgery. You'd say, I don't want that guy. I want the guy that's been preparing himself all along to do that. But in the church, we won't prepare often. We'll just make someone something and go with it, and it often is a spiritual problem. So the solution, in a positive way, is to be preparing ourselves now, to do those things that we need to be doing. That's how Jesus can use us. Let's go back now to the text in 2 Timothy 2. We need to be working. We need to be operational. How many times, ladies, have you gone to do something in the kitchen and that little appliance doesn't work? You're going to cut the bread or something with that electric knife, and you move the button and it doesn't work. Is it plugged in? Yeah, it's plugged in. It doesn't work. The washer and dryer doesn't work. The appliance doesn't work. The toaster doesn't work. The drill out in my garage, I pull the trigger, it doesn't work. What good is it to have it if it doesn't work? A lot of times with electrical things, you know, a switch is bad, the cord is bad, maybe the whole motor's fried, whatever. We go buy something that works. We can be around, we can be available, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But if we don't actually work, Jesus can't use us. I can't use that drill if it doesn't actually work. So look at what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, prepared unto every good work. I've got to actually be out being willing to work. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Epaphras is commended by Paul as someone who was a worker. If I'm not willing to actually do what Jesus wants me to do by way of work, then He can't use me. And there are all kinds of works for all of us, men and women, young and old, as Christians. There's all kinds of works that we can be doing. And look at Epaphras in Colossians 4 and verse 13. I bear him witness that he hath much labor for you. Much labor for you. He's a worker. Well, I'll let somebody else sign up on the worksheet list. I'll let 90% of the work be done by 10% of the people. That's what's often in the case of a local church. I'll let somebody else sign up. Roger always cleans the building. I'll just let him do it. If I'm not a worker, I can't be used by Jesus. I have to find something that I can do and do it. And there's work for all of us. And so, much labor for you. Not just a little bit, not just a bare minimum. What's the least I can sign up for and still be a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church? But He has given much labor for you, you see, in the Lord. We have to be working. And then, let's look at two other things and then we'll close this morning. We have to be available. Have you ever had a situation where you needed something, you needed it to help you and be useful to you, but it wasn't available? Just 2 days ago, I think it was, Sherry calls me and says, "Where's the key to the Honda? I got to go to the store. I had it in my pocket and I was up here at the church building." So I was up here in the Altima. I had the key to the Honda with me. She can't use it. It's not available. I'll be there in just a minute. I'll bring you that key. Have you ever gone, this happens from time to time, if you got this storage room or this closet or a garage, and it's all crammed, packed full of stuff, and the thing that you need is way there in the very back. Have you ever had that happen to you? And you're like, I need that ladder, but I can't really get to it. And you just kind of like, okay, I'll go do something else. You can have something, but it's not available. You still can't use it. Brethren, this is one of the hardest ones, and I include myself and my family. This is one of the hardest ones. Jesus wants us to have a job. He talks about that in His Word. He wants us to have a family and take care of them. There's going to be time that we need for our work and for our family. But we have to be available for the Lord's work also. Often we're so busy with family and work and hobbies and things around the house that there's literally no time left to do anything for the Lord. He can't use us if we're not available. We're going to have to say no to some of our personal things in order to open up time for Jesus. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 6 and verse 8 when the Lord said up in heaven, "We need someone to go for us and preach the word. Who's going to go for us and preach?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, what? Send me. I'm available. I'm accessible." Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to take care of our families. And there's going to be a number of hours required to do those things. But we also have some other hours of the day that we can use and must use for Jesus. He can't use us if we're not available and accessible. What did Peter, Andrew, James, and John do when Jesus came and said, "I want to make you fishers of men"? What did they do? They dropped their nets. They left their father and went and followed Him. I'm accessible. I'm available. Take me, Jesus. I can be one of your disciples. Are we like that? We're very busy, aren't we? But we can't be used by Jesus if we're so busy that we're not accessible and available. And one last passage, and then we'll close. In Haggai, turn with me there. Why was it that God's people had not finished building the temple? Was it because they didn't have the manpower? Was it because they didn't have the expertise in building? Was it because they didn't have the supplies? No. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "You have not finished building the temple because you're always at home working on your own house." And that's a hard pill to swallow. Is it time for you, verse 4, to dwell in your own sealed houses while this house lieth waste? Look at verse 9. Because the Lord of hosts says, "Because my house lieth waste," verse 9, "while you run every man to his own house." You're doing your stuff. You're taking care of your things. But my house over here is laying waste. You won't finish it. And Haggai stirred them up to finish. You've got to be, I've got to be available and accessible to go down there to Jerusalem and spend some time working on that house. But I got to work, right? I've got to take care of my family. I've got to, got recreation. You got to get down here and finish up this house. So we sleep for 8 hours. We work for 8 hours. Let's, that other third, eight, let's make sure that we're doing something for the Lord. And then last of all, we need to be dependable. In order to be useful in some manner, we have to be faithful and trustworthy and dependable, always ready to go. Guys, it's just frustrating. I'm going to go do such and such on the car today. You get all out there, and you get that one electric tool out, and you squeeze the button. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just frustrating. Sometimes that tool works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just frustrating. It's not dependable. So what do? We throw it off, and we go buy one that works all the time. When you squeeze the button, it works. If we're not dependable and trustworthy and always present and always ready, Jesus can't use us. The Master cannot use us if we're not dependable. Sometimes I'm in the church and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I assemble and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm faithful and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm hot and sometimes I'm cold. Jesus can't use us. So be consistent and constant and regular. There are so many people in the New Testament. Timothy was described as trustworthy. Tychicus is described as trustworthy. Moses, Hebrews 11:5, was described as trustworthy or dependable. John Mark. You know what's interesting about John Mark? In Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 15 and verse 38, Paul says, I don't want to take John Mark. He left the work. I don't want to take him. But when Paul talks about him later at the end of his life, he says, bring Mark with you. He is useful to me. 2 Timothy 4:11. Mark went from being useless to being useful. He grew, he matured, he got better. And Paul says, I want Mark to come. He's useful to me. So even if in our life we're going through parts of our life where we're not what we need to be, like Mark, we can change and be useful for the Master. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. Why not now? Why not come and be a baptized Christian now? Do you know that being in the Master's use is the most honorable place to be in? To be able to walk out this morning and say, I am in the Master's use. That's the most honorable place to be in. Be in that place this morning. If it means becoming a Christian for the very first time, do that. If it means purging ourselves from some immorality, if it means readying ourselves and starting right now to do those roles that I need to be doing, if it means being more busy in work, if it means being more available and accessible for Jesus, if it means being more dependable, let's do that. Useful to the Master. What a great place to be in. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?